ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you recently decided to move home to Australia from overseas? Or maybe you know someone else who's made the move.
It's been a long time since I've been home, and every time I go home to visit, I find I'm just so much happier at home. So I want to extend that beyond just holiday happiness and want to live at home. I have children now. I'd love them to become Aussie kids, you know, to live, go to school and live that life as a little Aussie kids. And it's lifestyle as well, and having seasons again, and to work with fellow Australians again. So there's lots of reasons to be coming home at this point in time.
Wanting to come home is one thing, but finding a job as a returning expat can be tough.
One of the common things that we certainly hear when you're working offshore is that you get a lot of the, oh, but you have no Australian experience. And that is so true. You know, I'd be dealing with people who have got multi-market experience working across 10 jurisdictions in Asia, across cultures, across different regulatory regimes, to be told by headhunters or businesses, oh, but you have no Australian experience.
A lot of the recruiters that I spoke to mentioned that I needed to have Australian stock exchange listed experience, and I didn't have that, so therefore many companies would not be interested in even having me on a shortlist. The second was that because I'd been out of the country for a while, it was hard for them to explain to their clients why I should be on a shortlist.
Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and for this Working Life, how to build a global career and then bring it back home. Natasha lives in Singapore with her young family, but they've given themselves a hard date to move back to Australia at the beginning of the next school year. Here's how she's preparing.
So I'm in change management, so I've been joining all of the Australian chapter webinars just to get a feel of the sort of work that they're doing in my field. I've got a network in Melbourne from when I lived in Melbourne previously, so I've been just reigniting that network that I have. So, you know, really multifaceted how I've been preparing, really tapping into everyone who's going through it, has been going through it, and taking their learnings. And I was starting just to look at the market, just to get an idea of, you know, what are they looking for, just so I could shape my CV around that. You know, I did a few applications just because I've been with the same organization for 16 years, so I haven't had to apply for a job for a very long time. You know, just got my dipped myself back in just to see what it was like to do the application process. And now also understanding that it's the market is much more difficult for me. So it's been quite a reality check in the last couple of months, to be honest.
Natasha adjusted her expectations after reading the results of a survey from a group called InSync. They work to support expats. It's headed up by Margot.
Yes, my name is Margot Anderson. I'm the founder of InSync Network Group.
You've published a survey recently about returning expat experiences. What were the main takeaways?
Yeah, so we first ran this survey in 2022. And so what we were looking to do was to understand, had there been much shift in the recent survey, because we've come out of COVID and we've had a really big skills shortage. And what we found is that things didn't shift that much, which on one level is quite disappointing, because it's like, regardless of whether the market is buoyant or not, expats are facing these challenges. But some of the things that did emerge is that expats are taking longer to find their role. And also what we know is that the current economic climate is really playing into these challenges. So the cost of living, housing affordability, et cetera, is really compounding these stresses and these transition challenges, because it's expensive to move countries and to move lives. And so the longer you are out of the market, the more stressful that becomes for individuals who are transitioning. What we also found is that expats are taking longer to manage their transitions. So most are spending 1 to 2 years to plan their move home, which on one hand is really encouraging that there is some recognition around the work that needs to be done to re-establish networks, to build and define your really clear strategy and plan. But what's challenging is that, you know, recruiters and hiring managers are still really difficult to engage with.
And from your experience, Margot, how do recruiters and hiring managers respond to an applicant with global experience who wants to work back in Australia?
Not all recruiters and hiring managers fall into this category. So the secret is really finding those that are specialists in your field. But typically the challenges that expats are coming up against are, you've been out of the market. Where's your recent Australian experience? Where's your local network? Where's your book of clients? So they're looking for anchors back into the here and now of the market. And Australia is typically conservative in their hiring practices. And so they are looking for anchors that they can see and relate to. So I think, again, that plays back to a really important insight for expats to think about how are they localizing their global story in their positioning. And the first thing I would say is never diminish your experience or hide your experience, but learn how to tell it in a manner that incites curiosity around what you've done. So I think it's really important to talk to the challenges that you enjoy solving as an expat, because challenges are transferable and relatable.
When it comes to describing then your global experience to a recruiting or hiring manager, what are some tips to do that in a way that becomes more meaningful for them?
So I think one of the things is really important is to remember that the recruiter, if they're an external recruiter, is effectively a translator for you. And they are there to promote and advocate you to their client who is looking to fulfill a role. And so I think, again, I come back to what challenges do you enjoy solving? So rather than leading with maybe the title that you've held, because sometimes titles don't translate really well. If I think about even titles like VP, very few organisations use the term vice president as a role. Now, again, you can't hide what you've held, but again, translate that, you know, so that people would understand what that means. Rather than leading with the size and scale of budgets, maybe talk in dollar values, talk about maybe the percentage of budget that you've held. Talk about the challenges, as I said earlier, that you've enjoyed solving, or being able to anchor it to something local. So if you've come out of the UK and you've been working for a B&Q or for in that space.
Sorry, what's a B&Q?
So a bit like a Bunnings. So that's exactly the question that people would ask. So being able to say, look, I've been recently working for an organisation that's very similar in size and scale to a Bunnings, or in terms of presence in the Australian market. They've been embarking upon scale and growth, and they've addressed market challenges such as, you know, new competitors coming into the market, or they've been looking at acquisitions to grow their portfolio. So I think that those challenges are relatable. And people would go, oh, we're actually thinking about acquisitions at the moment. Oh, we're actually thinking about, you know, how are we going to look at our positioning in the market in terms of, you know, percentage hold, et cetera. So again, anchor it back into a story that people can see, touch, feel, relate to, and hear. Yeah.
And given that it might take 2 years to effect that transition, would your advice be to start looking for those jobs before coming back to Australia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And get really clear on what it is that you want to do when you return. Because I think there are those people who are coming back who are like, I know that the role that I've been doing may not exist, you know, in any real volume in Australia, but what I want to do is do meaningful work. So what meaningful work means to me and what meaningful work means to somebody else could be really different. So you have to be very clear about what that means for you, and then you have to work through how do you best position that. And I had a conversation last night with somebody in our Singapore community who said, look, Margot, I'm returning in February. You know, I was back in Sydney, you know, 2 weeks ago. I had 18 conversations. Now, that's not 18 interviews, but that was 18 conversations around, you know, the opportunities, the market, how their experience is regarded by others.
Brett lives and works in Melbourne now, but he did keep his options open while planning his return to Australia. He started consulting with a view to running his own business and applied for jobs in large organisations as well. Then, one day, an Australian recruiter said this.
It would probably take me about 20 minutes to explain to a client why it's important for them to look at me as a candidate, but they didn't want to waste their time for 20 minutes doing that when they've got other candidates they can put forward. So they said, look, I'm not even going to bother putting you forward on the shortlist. So that I found that really to be a quite a struggle to deal with, that sort of stuff. In hindsight, what I would have done is started making those connections that I needed in Australia, starting to network a lot further in advance than what I did. So I started doing networking about 6 months before I returned. But I realistically, I should have done that a long way before. The challenge at the time was that we're right in the middle of COVID. So networking at that time, even if you lived in Australia, was challenging. But my advice to people would be either don't lose the connections if you go to work overseas, make sure you keep them strong, or start networking as far in advance as you can so you do have something to return to, or you have people that can help you when you get back. And probably the second component would be that I wouldn't have targeted so many different recruiters. I would have been a lot more focused really on the good ones instead of trying to go after all. And your network can help you on that in terms of making sure you identify the right ones and those that will really help you.
Despite his depth of experience, Brett stopped applying for jobs and continued with his consulting business instead. Let's hear now from another returning expat and find out how she's managed to come back home.
My name's Jacinta Redden, and I found myself as chief executive of Advance Cairns, which is beautiful far north Queensland's economic development and advocacy organisation. Why did I come back? So again, I guess I came back twice. So the first time in the early 2000s, it was really for personal reasons. It's tough to be living away, and my mother was going through some health issues, and I really just felt it was time to come home. And I did find it quite difficult that first stint when I was coming back to Melbourne, the city that I'd left 9 to 10 years earlier. And so this second time around, 15 more years later, I've returned to Australia, but I'm living in an entirely different location. So in many ways, I'm treating this as another expat adventure, if you like. I'm discovering Queensland, I'm discovering beautiful tropical north. And so my experience second time around has been really quite different from the first. And the reason that I came back this time was largely my youngest daughter was finishing school in Hong Kong, and the economy in Hong Kong and the general political climate was such that, you know, really there was, like so many, looking to leave Hong Kong. And out of the blue, I was asked if I was interested in this role, and it's proved to be a really fantastic way to return back to Australia. I think the way that I maintained the network, and it's advice that I give to people all the time, in Hong Kong was at one point leading the Australian Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong. And so for anyone that was thinking about returning, I always advise get involved with your local Australian Chamber of Commerce or organisation, because that's the very best way that you're going to be in touch with some of the key business initiatives and some of the political policy decisions that are being made. I'd also get involved in the Australian Institute of Company Directors, because that's an excellent way of making sure that you're on top of some of the leading business issues that businesses are facing. It is about reconnecting, And I know what it's like to live. I spent most of my time working for global organisations, one headquartered in London, one headquartered in New York. And you do disconnect from Australia in many ways. But for those who are thinking of returning, you can't reconnect soon enough. It's just so important to keep those connections going. And look, a really simple way is just keep your profile up to date on LinkedIn, because that's where people do go to validate that you are who you say you are. You know, make sure that you promote some of the really exciting work that you're doing globally, and get that out there and keep connected. And make sure that those connections are genuine as well. You know, there's nothing worse than when people feel that it's just transactional. You know, those connections have to be genuine, and they have to be, you know, mutually beneficial as well.
We want our family and friends to be able to come home and rebuild their lives here. But why should Australian organisations hire returning expats? Jacinta has some ideas and advice.
Because there's so much rich and valuable, fantastic experience that expat Australians can bring back to the nation. And so it's really about finding businesses and finding organisations and leadership that values that experience. So get close to those organisations that talk about that value that experience, that recognise that experience in Asia can stand you in good stead in Australia, and see it as a distinct advantage and not a disadvantage. Because, you know, let's face it, if you can build networks and run successful businesses across Asia, you can certainly do it in Australia, and you bring a deeper, richer perspective to that role.
My next guest would certainly agree. Kate McQuesten is the CEO of Advance Global Australians.
And our mission is to really make sure that Australians can make the most of the opportunities that they face abroad, and also help them when they come home to make the most of the opportunities and share their knowledge and experience that they've had overseas, so that they can really take the next step in what they want to do in their life when they return as well.
So Advance has released a report into the experiences of Australians returning from overseas. So can we go down to the next level? What can you tell us about the results?
So the results were really interesting, Lisa. I think that it probably highlighted that there's work to do in terms of educating recruiters and companies on the enormous experience that people gain overseas, and making sure that that is shared when they come home. And also that, you know, a lot of people think that it will be easy when they do decide to come back. Most of the people that we surveyed and interviewed over the past 2 months were people that had been overseas for 5+ years, and a big trigger for them returning was family and coming back to be with family in Australia. And what we are seeing and what they are saying is that they expected it to be easy, but then we also researched those that have returned home. And those that have returned home, two-thirds of them have said that they've found it difficult. Now, what did they find difficult? Mm. It was mainly the networking, to be honest with you, and the job opportunities and getting the, you know, getting the jobs that they wanted. But they felt it was difficult in terms of reconnecting with people, which I think probably comes back to, are we too clicky sometimes? Do we welcome people back when they go overseas? I know that everyone's busy, and potentially there are, opportunities for us all to be a bit more welcoming and engaging with people when they do come home. But definitely that was something that was raised as a difficulty, a key difficulty with that. And how do you kind of break back into networks when you've been overseas for over 5 years, and what can we be doing to kind of assist with that?
And Kate, is this tied to that category of the things that you can't talk about when you come back?
I think it is. I think that there are some things that you should, you know, life's different. Going overseas is amazing. And we all, those that have that opportunity to go overseas, and I'm a big advocate for people being able to go overseas. I think that there is a perception that it's a bad thing when people go overseas. I think that they're, you know, people kind of talk it down, but actually it's a wonderful thing. I want my children to go overseas and have the opportunities I've had. I think globalisation is here to stay, and we need to make sure that people are empowered to go and have the experiences they want to have. We are far away from, you know, key markets that, you know, but we're also close to some very key ones as well. But, you know, it's very important that we enable people to go overseas and don't talk it down. But then when they come back, embrace that and say, okay, what did you learn? What doesn't mean it's better, but, you know, but we should be learning from other countries that are advancing faster than what we are and really being smart about it and looking at what they've done very well, picking up the bits that have done really well, and then executing it here in Australia as much as we can. And I think that that's where we're at. I think that there's an opportunity for us to advocate in sharing the key learnings and the key opportunities that have been had overseas and making sure that we're implementing them here.
What do you think are some of the key things that individuals can do when they're returning then? What would your advice be there?
Oh, I think that LinkedIn is a very powerful connecting platform. I have no relationship with LinkedIn at all, but I think that that is something that is very useful that wasn't around or wasn't as strong before I went overseas. And I'm probably showing my age, but it wasn't around as strongly as what it is today, which I think is a very powerful tool for people to utilise. I think that research is really important in making sure that, you know, things are done in a way with quality versus quantity. I think that's a really important thing. And I think not being afraid to reach out to people. I think Australians are enormously kind and like to help each other. But when the people want career advice or they want to be connected with someone or mentoring, I mean, what a great way to give back to people in a very meaningful way where you can connect them as much as possible. 80% of people that we surveyed said they believe that, you know, Australians, there's a need for them to be recognised for what they have done overseas. Now, 80%, that's obviously a clear majority. But then 30% are only happy to talk about what they've done overseas. So there is that the tall poppy and the people being scared about talking about what they've done is very real. They don't want to do it. But I think we need to not be scared about it. Let's talk about what you've done overseas. Don't say it's the best and, you know, that you know best or, you know, you're more superior. You know, it's how you kind of, I suppose, frame it. But I think that it is very important that we do talk about it, because if we don't, then people don't know about it. And that comes back to the knowledge sharing that is so important to our community and our economy. We need to share what we've learned. But I think it comes down to how you position it and how relatable it is and how it's pitched in.
Kate, what would you say to organisations listening who might be reluctant to hire an expat who is returning home?
Oh, you're missing out. Look, people that have lived overseas bring a different perspective. They bring global experience. They bring a desire to take a risk and obviously conviction to make success happen. And I think that I would always look at that, you know, as an opportunity and as an enormous positive attribute. If someone's been overseas, they are resilient and they will bring a different perspective to your organisation that should not be ignored.
Margot Anderson helps returning Australians reconnect with the local job market, and she has some more ideas on how to support that.
I think it's really around how do we build pathways? How do we build pathways between businesses and industry groups with expats? So I think it's really important to know, A, where our expats are and what they are doing. And that's a difficult thing to do because we're a collective of individuals. So we need to work out how do we identify and capture this cohort? And then it's really around, well, how do we start to look at understanding what international experience can mean for us as a business, us as an industry, and as a community. So again, I think it's around raising visibility of both jobs and opportunities here and expats raising visibility of what they're doing and where they are so that we can connect the dots.
Thanks to Margot Anderson, founder of InSync Network Group, Kate McQuesten from Advance Global Australians, expat returnees Brett and Jacinta Redden, and aspiring returnee Natasha. Now, do you have a work bestie? We're working on a story about friends at work and we want to hear from you. Do things sometimes get complicated? Are you friends with your boss, perhaps? Maybe you like to keep friendship out of the workplace altogether. Please get in touch. Tell us about it. You can email me at thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. You've been listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and mixed by Matthew Crawford on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, work it, baby.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.